Amen. Well, it's truly a joy and a pleasure to see so many here with us this morning and enjoy your friendship, your company, your fellowship. Let's open with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for your word that is unchanging and that is ever the same, just as you are ever the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Lord, I thank you that we can count on that, we can rely on that, we can build our lives on it, that it's a unchanging and you are unchanging. Father, thank you for that. Because of that, we can trust you so deeply. I pray this morning as we open your word that you would fill our hearts with that deeper trust and love for you and draw us close, Lord, that we might learn and grow in you as you would have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. That's interesting. You would think that this sermon was specifically because of what happened last Sunday and all the things I've been looking at and thinking about since then. And for those who don't know, I strained my low back quite badly, and so I've been laid up. And during the time I've been laid up, I've been doing a lot of research on various options, but this actually is something that the Lord had been working, laying on my heart for quite a while recently, and I was preparing to give a sermon on it. Just so happened that I get to experience or have a test in it the week right before and the week right following the time when I'm giving this. But this morning I want to look at following the Lord through unknown ways. It's a interesting thing. I feel like as when I was younger in the faith and a younger person in general, I feel like I felt like there was a lot less unknown. And the older I get and the more I learn, the less I think I know. And the less the more unknowns there seem to be. I think that's kind of common in the human experience, that the more you know, the more you realize you just really don't know, and the more you realize how much you need to depend on the Lord. Or, you know, obviously there are folks who try to find other alternatives to that as well. But I want to start this morning in Isaiah chapter 50 and look at a couple verses here in Isaiah chapter 50. Beginning with verse 10, he says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, and that walketh in darkness and hath no light?" This is a description here of somebody who loves the Lord, who obeys the Lord, who fears the Lord and obeys his voice, but is walking in uncertainty and doesn't know what's ahead, doesn't know what's going on around him, who's walking in darkness and has no light. Many times in our lives, this is a very real and accurate description of our experience on a day-to-day basis. Many times we are kind of standing there like, okay, where do I go from here? What's the next step? What do I do? He says to this one, who he says, "Who among you is like this?" To you, he says, "Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay or lean upon his God." Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. How does that help? We'll get into that. But this is the word given all the way back in Isaiah that God is giving to his people all down through the ages. When you love the Lord, you fear the Lord, you're striving to obey his voice, and you find yourself, it feels like you're surrounded by darkness and you don't know where to go and you don't have any light or vision of the steps ahead to know what to do in the situations that are surrounding you, in the hardships of life, in the struggles, in the darkness, when it seems like you don't even know where the next step is. He says, let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. That gives the idea of leaning heavily and resting your weight, resting your cares, resting all of your burdens and all of your hopes and dreams and faith on him. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. In comparison, Verse 11 says, "Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of mine hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow." So what is the other option that we often try to do? We try to figure it out ourselves. We try to light our own fire. He says here, you're kindling your own fire and compassing yourself about with sparks. You think it's going to make sense. You're trying to figure it out logically. He says, go ahead. Walk in the light of your fire. See how that does for you. See how that works out for you. He said, this you will have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. You're going to find yourself, if you're trying to walk, if you find yourself in a dark place, and you're trying to walk by the light of your own intelligence, by what you can reason and figure out, you're going to find yourself way off track somewhere, giving up, sitting down in sorrow. We see examples of this all down through Scripture, all down through history, all down through Scripture, through men and women of God. We see one of the first examples that comes to mind for me would be Abraham. When God says, I'm going to give you a son and I'm going to bless all the nations of the world through you. And he says, well, this isn't working. I'm almost 100 years old and I don't have a son. And Sarah says, hey, I've got an idea. What if we, you know, what if you marry Hagar, my maidservant, and you have a son with her? He kindled his own fire. He stirred up the sparks and it made sense. Oh, yeah, well, he would still be my son, right? Okay, that works, yeah. So he marries Hagar, and they have a little son. And guess what? As time goes on, you see this progressing, that in relation to Ishmael, not only Abraham, but all of his descendants who were the promised seed have had difficulty and sorrow and hardship because of that decision that Abraham made. And even Ishmael himself, God says, his hand's going to be against everyone and everyone's hand's going to be against him. What a miserable existence. What a miserable life to live that way. And I think many times in the life of Abraham, as he thought about and looked at Ishmael, he cared for him. He was his son, but yet there was a sorrow there. We see that when he says, God, oh, that Ishmael would walk before you. Oh, that he could be the one to fulfill this promise. I just wish that you could, you know, give him a special blessing too. And God didn't just destroy Ishmael, but he did cause a lot of sorrow in the life of Abraham and all of that promised seed. And we see this repeated again and again. And I'm sure if you look back through your life, if you've lived for very many years, you can probably see examples in your own life where you've kindled your own fire and started walking in your own understanding and your own logic and the light that you thought you could figure out and suss out and make work for you, when you were standing and finding yourself in a place of unknown. And what did it bring? What did it produce? So many times it brings us down a path of sorrow and hardship. Sometimes it's repairable, sometimes it's irreparable. And those consequences, even though God may forgive us, and He does forgive us if we come to Him in repentance, sometimes the consequences of walking our own way don't necessarily leave the moment we're forgiven. If you murdered somebody and you got thrown into jail for it, you're not going to get released from jail just because, oh, I believe in Jesus now and I asked for His forgiveness and He forgave me. I don't care. You're staying in prison anyway. There's certain consequences to us walking our own way that even when God forgives us, don't just disappear. We're still going to have that sorrow to deal with. So what is the counsel that is given here for not, this isn't speaking specifically to those who don't know the Lord or don't care about Him or don't love Him or don't want Him to be the Lord of their lives. This is specifically speaking to those who obey the voice of His servant and who walk, and He says, who fear the Lord and obey the voice of His servant and who walk in darkness and have no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. This is a term not only of leaning, but also of not jumping and running, not being flighty and just, oh, well, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to either do nothing or I'm going to panic and just run in some direction. Let him stay. Let him trust in the name of the Lord his God and stay upon his God. In John chapter 14, verse 1 through 7, Jesus says to his disciples, he says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." How do they know? Because he just told them, "I'm going to go to my Father, and then I'm going to come back and get you." But they missed that. Thomas says to him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" And Jesus said unto him, "I am the way." I am the way. What should you do if you don't know the way? Trust in him and stay on him. Lean on him. I am the way. Yes, you might not know the next step in front of you physically, but you know who knows it. And you know who already has seen and determined and knows that way far out ahead of you. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him." Why? Because you know me and you've seen me. I am the way. "Lord, how do I find the way? What do I do? Where do I go? What's the way?" I'm the way. I'm the way. You don't have to know every step in front of you. You have to know the one who directs your steps. You have to know the one who's going to hold you up if you lean on him. And it's not going to crumble when you lean all of your weight on him. If we lean our weight on a human being, many times they're going to let us down. Even if they don't want to, they're going to crumble. They're going to let us down. If we lean on God, he will never let us down. This is an anchor, a rock, and a tower on which you can lean every bit of your weight and your troubles and your cares, and he will not move. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. "I am the way," Jesus said. I want to look at 2 Samuel chapter 22. Beginning with verse 29, he says, this is David speaking, he says, "For thou art my lamp, O Lord, and the Lord will lighten my darkness. For by thee I have run through a troop, by my God I have leaped over a wall. As for God, his way is perfect." The word of the Lord is tried. That means it's purified, it stands solid, it's already been tested, and it's proved out time and time and time again. It's solid. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler or a shield to all them that trust in him. For who is God save the Lord? And who is a rock save our God? Who is someone you can lean on and depend on and he's not going to move? God is. God, verse 33, "God is my strength and power, and he maketh my way perfect." When I realize that his way is perfect and I lean on him and I depend on him and I trust in him and I continue on faithfully walking as he guides and directs, he makes my way perfect. Isn't that an amazing promise? God's way is always perfect. And his word is sure and tried. He's a buckler. He's a protection. He says he's a rock. He's strength. He's power. And as I follow and lean and obey him, he makes my way perfect. Step by step. He goes on in verse 34. He says, "He makes my feet like hinds' feet." Have you seen goats and wild deer climbing around on the sides of a mountain? You would think they had some kind of a button they could flip that they're not susceptible to gravity. They don't slip. And when they do slip, they just catch another foothold a little lower down, and you watch sometimes these videos where you see these mountain lions trying to catch them, and they're so out of their league. They're running and jumping and sliding down and going up and jumping across chasms. And I mean, the cats, half the time, they just give up. You're not going to keep up with that. And here he says, God makes my feet like hinds' feet. Through God, by staying on him and trusting in him and not lighting my own fire and trying to follow my own understanding, he makes my feet like hinds' feet and setteth me upon my high places. He teacheth my hands to war so that a bow of steel is broken by my arms. Thou hast also given me the shield of thy salvation, and thy gentleness hath made me great. And thou hast enlarged my steps under me, so that my feet did not slip. What a beautiful picture and promise from God. We see at the beginning here, he's talking about God is my lamp. He's lighting and illuminating things for me. He's making things clear. He says he will lighten my darkness. He will. I trust that. I believe that. He will lighten my darkness. And then he talks about some of the things God's already done for him. He says, I've run through a troop and I've leaped over a wall. God is able and waiting to be our light and our answer, to enlarge our steps under us. What does that look like? Well, one second I'm hanging on by the tip of one toe on the edge of a cliff, and the next moment as he enlarges that step, as I trust in him, all of a sudden I've got a solid place to set my foot. Because I'm trusting in him. I'm leaning on that rock. I'm staying on my God. And as I acknowledge and trust him and put my faith in the fact that his way is perfect, and he knows all. He sees all. And if I'll trust him and wait on him and depend on him, he will make my way perfect, one step at a time. There's a beautiful, beautiful passage in Isaiah 42, a beautiful verse in Isaiah 42, verse 16. He says, I will bring the blind by a way they know not. How is that possible? You know how a blind man or a blind woman gets around? The little bit that they can get around? It's by memorizing a route. It's 50 steps over this way, then I turn left and I go 20 steps this way, and then I turn right and I slide right past the garbage can over here and I feel that to make sure I'm in the spot where I think I am, and then I go this many steps over this way, and then, you know, I open the handle and I can go ahead and use the restroom or whatever it is that you memorized the route of. But if you're blind, the only way you have to get around, unless somebody is leading you, is by knowing where you're going and having the route memorized. But here God promises, he says, I will bring the blind by a way they know not. By my power and by my guidance and ability, I can take you by the hand, though you are blind, and so many times we feel blind in our lives, I can take you by the hand and I can lead you down paths you don't even know exist yet. I can do so far above and beyond what you could ever ask or think. I can take you through valleys, over mountains, where you can't see the way and you've never been there before. I will bring the blind by a way they knew not. I will lead them in paths that they have not known. I will make darkness light before them and crooked things straight. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. These things will I do unto them and not forsake them. Even as Jesus promised years and years later, I will never leave you or forsake you. God says, I'm going to straighten out the dark, the crooked paths. I'm going to bring darkness into the light, bring light into your darkness. I'm going to lead you, even though you're blind, by ways you don't know, take you down paths you've never seen or even imagined. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm not going to leave you stranded on the side of a cliff somewhere going, oh my word, what am I going to do? I remember one of the books that's been so powerful in my life as a believer and has meant so much to me through the years is Hinds Feet on High Places. And then at one point, she's going with her two companions that the shepherds assigned to her, and they're climbing this mountain. They're climbing in the dark all night long. And in the morning, she opens her eyes. Well, when it gets light, she looks back over the track that they've come, and she sees that it's literally a narrow little winding strip with some places where there's big chasms between and rickety little wooden rope bridges. And she had no idea. She was trusting the shepherd and following his lead step by step. She didn't even realize how close she was from human perspective or could have been to from falling to her death in the middle of the dark in the night and not even being able to catch a hold of anything on the way down. She had no idea. And that is the same thing he's talking about here. It's the same kind of an experience that you and I, many times we get through a hardship, right? And we look back and we go, God, I don't know how you did that. I don't know how you brought me through that. I don't know how you sustained me and gave me the grace and the strength and the trust to hang on to you and to follow you through that. It's only your mercy. I've heard people say different times, looking at someone who's struggling with something like terminal cancer or something, and they see them facing it with joy and with grace and with strength from the Lord, and they say, man, I could never do that. Well, no, you couldn't right now, because God's not giving you the grace to do that right now. But if you trusted in Him and leaned on Him the way they are, if you were in that situation, He would give you the grace for that then. One man said He doesn't give you dying grace while you're still supposed to be living. He doesn't give you the grace to die with grace and with courage when He doesn't ask you to die. You don't need that grace right now. You do need the grace for what you're facing right now. And He will and does supply it as we lean and trust and stay on our God. Many times this involves waiting patiently. Waiting patiently. Many times when we're in that situation, our gut instinct is fight or flight, right? I got to do something right now. I'm standing in the complete darkness and I don't know where to go. What do I do? God, you got to give me an answer right now or I'm going to jump. Hold on, child. Be patient. Trust and stay. Stay leaning on your God. A verse we could all probably have quoted from a very young age, Psalm 119, verse 105. He says, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." It's interesting how he words that. He doesn't say, "Your lamp makes the whole path bright out before me and I can see everything that's going to happen and everything's going to come my way." That's not how a lamp works. A lamp shows you the next one or two steps. And as you take those steps and progress forward, it shows you more steps. He says, your word is a lamp, not to my entire path, not to my entire life, but it's a lamp to my feet. It shows me where my feet are right now and where they need to be next. And I can follow one step at a time, trusting that God knows best. He's not going to just walk me off the side of a cliff. Your lamp, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Not the whole thing all at once, but the next steps. And sometimes we have to wait a moment. Sometimes we have to wait more than a moment as we wait for Him to reveal the next steps. But stay upon your God. Stay upon Him. I want to close with a section from Job chapter 23. Job was a man, a godly man, who loved the Lord with all his heart. God's testimony of him is quite impressive. God says, "Have you looked at my servant Job? There's no one like him in all the earth. He loves me and he hates evil. What a testimony. I pray that God could say that about me someday. But Job goes through gut-wrenching pain and suffering and hardship. He loses all 10 of his children in one day. He loses everything he has. He's covered in sores from his head to his feet. His wife even at one point says, "Hey, you should just curse God and die. I mean, you are so miserable right now. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just give up? I mean, there's nothing left to live for. Our kids are all dead. Everything we've ever had or worked for is gone. Why don't you just give up? Why don't you just throw in the towel?" Job was in a very, very dark place. And then his friends show up and make things even worse and start throwing accusations at him, saying, "Oh, well, the whole reason that you're having trouble is because you're obviously a lot more sinful than we thought. You walk around and talk and act and show on the outside that you're a righteous, godly man, but clearly you're not, because God doesn't do this to righteous people." Is that true? No, that's not true. That's the whole reason that Job was going through this to begin with, is because God was bragging about him to Satan about how righteous he was. But Job says, in the middle of all of this, in the middle of this difficulty and hardship, missing and longing for his children, and at one point he says, I wish I wasn't even born. I wish that when I was coming out that they had just knocked me over the head and thrown me out in the field. That would have been the end of me. But in the midst of all of this, he's speaking in chapter 23, beginning in verse 8. He says, "Behold, I go forward, but he's not there." Speaking of God, he says, I can't find you. I can't feel you. I can't see where you are or what you're doing. I can't understand God. He says, "I go forward, but he's not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him." I'm looking around like, "God, where are you? I'm looking behind me. I'm looking in front of me." He says, "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. And he hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." I'm looking. I'm trying to find, what are you doing, God? Why are you allowing this in my life? Why am I struggling with all of these things? Why are you allowing wicked men to prosper? Why are you seemingly just beating me over the head and kicking me while I'm down? I'm looking for answers, and I'm looking more than that specifically. I'm looking for you, God, and I can't find you. I can't sense your presence. In verse 10, he says, "But he knoweth the way that I take." God already knows what he's doing. He already knows the steps before me and how I should go. I don't. I'm completely lost and confused. I'm struggling right now. But what is Job hanging on to through all of this difficulty that was the one thing that sustained him? That he didn't curse God and die, as his wife advised him to do. God knows my way. God knows where I am. God knows me. He knows what I can take, and he's promised he won't test me beyond what I can take. He knows who I am. He knows where I am. He knows exactly all the darkness that's around me. He knows exactly all the pitfalls and the terrors. He knows everything. And he knows when it's time for me to stay still and wait. And he knows when it's time for me to take a step. And he knows when it's time for me to run and get out of there. And I don't know where he's at exactly. I can't see or understand why he's doing what he's doing or what his purpose is or where he's trying to take me. But I believe this. At the core of my being, he knows my way. He knows my way. He says, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. I trust and believe that when it's all said and done, God's going to be the victor and I'm going to be better for what he brought me through. I don't know how. I don't understand. Many times we hear people throw out, you know, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And that's true. But I sure don't feel it sometimes. But Job here is resting his whole, staking his whole being on this knowledge and belief at the core of his being. God knows where I am. And when he's done doing whatever it is that he's doing, I will come forth as gold. He's not going to abandon me here to sit in the darkness for the rest of my life. At some point, he will lead me on to the next steps. He knows where I am, and he knows me. And what is Job's testimony as to what that's done for him? He says in verse 11, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. I don't know where I'm going, but I know who I'm following. And so I have continued faithfully because of my faith in God, because of my belief in him, because I know that he's in charge and I know he knows best and I know he knows where I am and how much I can take. I've continued to walk in his way. Through all of this difficulty and hardship, he says, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to throw in the towel. I'm not going to curse God and die. Sooner or later, he's going to bring me through this. He says in verse 12, he says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. He says, I think there was a lot of that time when Job was struggling and suffering when he probably couldn't eat much and didn't want to eat much. We see much of the time it says he was sitting there fasting in dust and ashes, scratching his sores with a piece of broken clay. He says, I don't even want food. Even though that's the one thing that, you know, that's necessary to keep me alive physically. But I desperately cling to and need and realize my need for the Word of God more than that. He says, I esteem or I value the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. My necessary food isn't going to get me through this hardship. It's just going to keep me alive till something else happens, till something else changes. But God's word will feed my soul and my spirit and strengthen me and uphold me. He says, I'm craving it. I'm valuing it higher and more deeply than even the necessary food that I have to eat to keep alive and not starve to death. So, brothers and sisters, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a solid rock upon which we can stand, we can lean, we can collapse, and you will not move. Lord, thank you that we can have confidence that you know where we are. No matter how dark and difficult or unknown the way may be, yet I know the one who knows the way. Father, help us in those times and every time to value and hunger for your word above our necessary food. In Jesus' name, amen.